Today on Real Radio.
As he approached the cross, living under the shadow of the cross, Jesus says, "My heart is terrazzo, violently shaken on the inside." Jesus says, "My heart is violently shaken on the inside," as it were, because your heart, my heart, doesn't have to be. Isn't that good news? I don't have to be shaken on the inside because Jesus has taken that for me. When you look at this first verse, "Let not your heart be troubled," Jesus is stating, you don't have to be troubled. Question, are we troubled? Yes, we're troubled. Let me answer that question for you. You are troubled. I'm troubled.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, a feeling, give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John. We'll be taking a look at the first six verses of John chapter 14. Of course, the clock continues to wind down toward the execution of Jesus, and yet he takes the time out to give his disciples some words of hope. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Jesus is Coming Again.
Judas, as you know, having gone out and left, the disciples around the table are believing that Judas has gone to do some good deed. They never suspected Judas as being one of the betrayers or being the betrayer. On the other hand, Peter, who stands and says, "Lord, I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to go with you," as Jesus announces his death. Jesus says, "Peter, I tell you that before the rooster crows three times, you have denied me." Peter must have slumped back into his position with a broken heart as Jesus, in that setting, apparently, thank God it wasn't true, but apparently was directing the statement of betrayal to Peter. Interesting devotional truth before us. Judas, having betrayed Jesus, went into a Christless eternity. He went to hell. Peter will, in our studies ahead of us, deny Jesus as well, but he'll go to heaven. It's all in the heart. Judas never repented of his evil, but was rather sorry that he got caught in it. Peter, on the other hand, when he denies Jesus some three times, that's yet coming, will repent with an absolute and complete heart and be restored into the presence of God. Where you are at this morning with Jesus all depends on where your heart is. So do keep that in mind. But this morning we come to a very, very exciting portion of Scripture. In addition to all that, here, mark it down in your notes, Bible students. Very important. It's John's Gospel, chapter 14, in the first three verses where Jesus himself introduces the doctrine of the rapture of the church, not the second coming. Great difference between the two. In fact, keep this in mind. The first coming of Jesus Christ was not Bethlehem. That's where he was born. The first coming of Jesus Christ, as recorded in Malachi 3, verse 1 says, "For the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." And that happened during the great Passover week as Jesus made his last entrance into Jerusalem. It started with Palm Sunday, and that week he visited the temple on numerous occasions, holding Israel responsible to know his coming. That was his first coming to the nation, who? Israel. It's very Jewish in context. In fact, Jesus said himself, "I must first come," or the word is to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus came in his first coming to Israel. His second coming will be to the same nation. He will come to Israel again, according to the Bible. By the way, he'll come to the Temple Mount in the second time, as he did in the first time. Keep it in your mind's eye, on your notes. First coming, Jewish in context, to the nation Israel. Second coming, Jewish in context, to the nation Israel. But the rapture of the church is altogether different. It is the catching away of a Gentile bride or the church, the bride of Christ. Very, very important. Quite frankly, tragically, most churches, most ministers don't even distinguish between the second coming and the rapture. I'm not going to tell you who I was listening to this week. You all know who he is. But he was talking about, all right, turn in your Bibles. We're going to be talking about our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thought, all right, a message on the rapture. And he said, this is a great teaching on the second coming. And my heart sunk. The second coming, the Bible says, is a terrible and awesome day. The Bible says every eye will see him and mourn and weep. The rapture, on the other hand, is a secret. It's a mystery. It happens with no warning. It takes place and we're gone. And the world is left wondering what has all taken place. The second coming of Christ, mark it down in your Bible, 2 Peter 3:10. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them shall be burned up. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. And Acts chapter 2, verse 20 says, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. That's the second coming. Did you get that? That's the second coming. It's actually brutal upon the earth, rather frightening. But listen, John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6 is altogether different. Let's read it as we cover these first six verses together. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In our first look this morning, we looked to point number one, and the fact that Jesus is coming again, this is what it means to us. I'm going to assume this morning maybe that we're all Christians in here. We've all professed Christ. We've come to Christ. And so this morning I'm talking to the Christian. And by the way, if you're not sure this morning, you are going to be sure. Honestly, I'm not joking. There is a way. In fact, listen, are you listening? The Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. Somebody will say, well, you know, you really can't know for sure. Buddy, I don't want to be you. Because the Bible says, first of all, after you die, it's too late to find out. There's no second chance after death. The Bible says, these things have been written that you might know. Gnosko. It means to know deeply that you have eternal life. So, the fact of the matter is, if Jesus is coming again, what does it mean to me? It means this. Verse 1, we know his peace. We can know his peace. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We can know his peace. How so? Look at verse 1. His peace is in the face of life itself. The peace of God that he gives. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. What a great word. What a great statement. What's he mean by this? Let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled means terazo. You should be an expert on that word now. Remember it happened several chapters earlier. In fact, it even happened in chapter 13. What did Jesus say? He said, my heart is troubled. As he approached the cross, living under the shadow of the cross, Jesus says, my heart is terazo, violently shaken on the inside. Jesus says, my heart is violently shaken on the inside, as it were, because your heart, my heart, doesn't have to be. Isn't that good news? I don't have to be shaken on the inside because Jesus has taken that for me. When you look at this first verse, let not your heart be troubled, Jesus is stating, you don't have to be troubled. Question, are we troubled? Yes, we're troubled. Let me answer that question for you. You are troubled. I'm troubled. You've got problems. I've got problems. All God's children's got problems. We're troubled. You want to know how I know that? I may not know you personally, but I tell you what, I know Jesus in the Word, and this is what he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." In the Greek, it's implied. God says, "I know your heart is always troubled." So stop it is in the Greek. Stop it. See, well, it's easy for you to say. No, it's not. But you know what? I got to tell you, in 23 and a half years of being a Christian, finally, I've learned how to sleep at night. I tell you, nothing keeps me awake anymore. Why? I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. When the Word says here, stop letting your heart be troubled, it is a choice of mine. I can take it all upon myself, and you know what? I used to do this, and what a clown I was. I used to worry about things as though the world needed me. What a joke. I don't need to worry anymore because the world doesn't need me. Hey, I got news for you. You don't need me, and I don't need you. I mean, I love you and all, but the fact is we need Christ. We need him. We need to have him as the focal point of our lives. Listen, number one, the indictment against the church in the Western world today, I'm not going to limit it to Southern California. I'm not going to limit it to America. The church in the Western world today is this. It's easier to pop a pill than it is to drop your knees in prayer. I can't sleep. I've got so much trouble. And you would rather reach for a pill than get on your knees and say, God, give me the peace that passes all understanding. We are wrong in doing this. We're sinning and we have no faith. What do you think right now? In fact, statistically, since first service to this service, there have been possibly hundreds of people killed in Sudan right now for being a Christian. Did you know that? While you were eating breakfast, there were Christians dying for their faith. What do you do if you live in Sudan right now? Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." That may not mean much to you, but it means a lot to a Sudanese Christian who today or tomorrow will awaken to their death. What do you do? Reach for a pill and pop it? Grab a martini to calm your nerves? Why don't you pray? Oh, I don't know how to pray. Then come Wednesday nights at 7. We'll teach you how to pray. Honestly. You see, in our culture, we call everybody else. We call a doctor. We call a shrink. We call Listen, call God. His number, by the way, is Jeremiah 33:3. Very simple phone number. Call Jeremiah 33:3. That verse says, call me and I will listen to you. That's a pretty good phone number, don't you think? God says, hey, give me a call. I'll listen when you call. We are to know his peace. His peace is ours in the face of life. Life's tough. Life's hard. And if your life's not hard, I'm going home with you today. But listen, life is tough. It's difficult. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus says, now my soul is troubled. I thank the Lord that his soul got troubled, that mine doesn't have to be troubled. John 13, 21, Jesus says, the Bible says about Jesus, then being troubled in spirit, he testified of the betrayal. John 14, 27, peace I give to you, because I give to you, not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Boy, do we not need that verse today? Get your pen out, because I'm going to give you the best pill you could ever pop. Are you ready? If you know somebody who's a worry wart, write it on their right hand or their forehead. I don't know. Staple it to their back. Make them a t-shirt with this verse on it. Here it comes. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Here's how that happens. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, if we don't pray about it, he's not going to answer. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Is that not great? If we were a bunch of Pentecostals, thank you very much, we would have shouted, hallelujah, just like Jim did. Let's just shout hallelujah, just because I want you to. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah!
Yeah. there, you're a master in Hebrew. You just said, praise the Lord in Hebrew. It's the same language, by the way, same word everywhere in the world. You can shout hallelujah anywhere in the world, and everybody knows what it means, and it's a Hebrew word. That's kind of cool, don't you think? All the earth, the Bible says, shall praise his name. What a great verse that is. I love the fact that years ago, maybe some of you remember, Guy Duffield, remember him, the old man, real tall guy? I don't know if even he's still alive anymore. If he is, he's got to be well into his 90s. He stood right here in this pulpit and he said, my mom taught me that when I was worrying to pick up a pillow and throw that pillow across the room in fulfillment of this next verse, 1 Peter 5:7, where it says, cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. Isn't that great? So, well, that's kind of, oh, you guys are good today. Yeah, that's good. Wonderful stuff. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In verse 1, we see here, when he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Note this, peace, we can have his peace. We are to know his peace in the midst of faith. What do we mean by that? Listen, here's the deal. True faith, biblical faith in Christ produces peace. You ever had the peace that passes all human understanding? It's pretty freaky. You want to know why? I tell you, when I've had it, I've wondered what's wrong with me. Honestly, I'm not kidding. I should be panicking about the situation. I take stock of what's going on. My first thought is, am I not in touch with what just happened? That's what I think. Second thing is, am I in denial? The third thing is dealing with my friends who say, what's wrong with you? You've got so much peace. Don't you realize that this is going on? Yeah, I don't know. God's going to do it. And even Christians that don't have the peace of God, they get all upset at you when that happens. Oh, brother, you're in denial. We need to pray for Jack. He's really calm right now. That would be a miracle, but... Do you see that? He gives a peace that passes all understanding. Where does that come from? It comes from faith in him. You think your little kids lay awake at night saying, man, I don't know how we're going to make the mortgage. And the price of gas. Sheesh. I talked to a pastor this week in Texas. Man, the price of gas is so much. I said, oh, wow, yeah, how much is it there? $1.38. That's what I said to him. I say, well, you know, out here where you have to live by faith, gas is over $2 a gallon, but we'll trust the Lord to provide. But then my friends call from Germany and say, hey, it's almost $6 a gallon here, or a liter. Wow. You see? Faith in the Lord, peace comes. Can you imagine? What if gas goes to $6 a gallon? What are you going to do? You're going to have faith in God. And walk. Walk in faith. Our second point this morning is this. The coming of Jesus Christ means we know where we belong. We know where we belong. We know where we're going. Did you know that? We're going to heaven. Have you forgotten? Dave Hunt wrote a book, Whatever Happened to Heaven? The reason why he wrote it is because Christians aren't talking about it anymore. But again, back to our Sudanese brothers. You know why they're joyful in their death? They have nothing. But they have everything. They're going to heaven. We are a funny people. We can forget about heaven. The Bible says, note this, this is a very serious verse. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ dwells in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified, and that is, or that means to be found to be false. You could be in this church right now with a Bible open on your lap, and if you have not come to faith in Christ, listen, you cannot examine yourself for fear that you won't find anything that proves that you're a Christian. Did you hear that? The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to determine if you're a Christian. Wow. I better take stock of my own life, your own life. And at the end of the day, it had better point towards Jesus. Now, if you're sleeping around town, or if you're doing this stuff or that stuff, and you're saying you're a Christian, the Bible says that you're deceived, that you are not walking in the light, and you are lying against God and yourself. Now, having said that, if you go, that's me, I got to stop that, then praise God, get forgiven, and get right with the Lord and walk with Him. But don't run around town. Please don't. It makes my job so hard. Don't run around town with a Christian sticker on the back of your car while you're with Betty and Barbie and Bubbles, and you're calling yourself a Christian. Don't do it. You're not a Christian. How do you know? Well, what authority? None of my own. I'm just introducing you to 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And if you can sleep with these people or do this thing or the other thing and give me a Bible verse that says you're okay doing it, then I'll eat my words. The Bible says, depart from iniquity. Here's the proof. I mentioned to you earlier about how can you know if you're going to go to heaven? How can you know if you're a Christian? Are you ready? Get your pen ready. This is fun stuff. There is built in inside of you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of a believer, he starts doing something. And it's instantaneous, by the way, in the life of a believer. Even if you are saved or born again, right this moment, watch this. This is what happens. He begins to put inside you a fire, a desire, a passion to be with him in heaven. Did you know that? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go now? Did you know that's biblical? Did you know that it is a mark of the true believer? Say, Jack, are you sure about this? Oh, I'm sure. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul the Apostle says, for I am hard pressed. I love the way he puts this. I'm in a difficult spot between two things. One, having the desire to depart this world and be with Christ, which is far better. Two, nevertheless, to remain here for in the flesh because you need me. That's what he said. All right, Philippian church, the Apostle Paul said, I'm stuck between two truths. Number one, I want to get out of here and go be with God in heaven. You ever feel like that? If there's a trumpet blast right now, I'm going up. It's not because of what I've done or who I am. It's because I'm a rotten, stinking sinner that he loves and died on the cross for me.
It has been well said that Christianity is the only true religion of hope. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Jesus is Coming Again, one of the great hopes of the faith. It's a look at John 14 in verses 1 through 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can get to the Father except through me. We'll have to pick up with more of this fascinating study on our next edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us once again. Meanwhile, if you'd like to hear this study or any of our past studies, you can pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org. RealRadioactive.org is the place to visit if you'd like to learn everything there is to know about Real Radio. And in fact, you can hear past broadcasts and become a free subscriber to our podcasts of Real Radio. That's www.realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue because of your continued support. So prayerfully consider how much you can contribute, either as a one-time gift or as a continuing partner. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Till next time. We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.